Well, she is back with us and just came back from Washington, D.C. Deb Poland, who is a director of government affairs, and she is in the health field. And it is crazy what's going on in the health field. And Deb, welcome back to our program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And for those who don't know, Deb is in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, and you came back from a nation's capital that is buzzing, isn't it?
It is. There are people from all over the country going to see their congresspeople and expressing their opinions about all kinds of different issues.
Does this health plan, not the same one that we've seen now, but will there be, do you think, from what you've heard in Washington, what Trump is doing and so forth, that there will be a health plan?
I think there will be another attempt at replacing Obamacare. It seems that people are hearing a lot about what's not perfect about Obamacare, and then I think that the Republicans have made some promises that they want to be able to keep. So the discussions seem to be ongoing.
Now, what do you hear about Medicaid? Because we hear that there could be cuts under the Trump budget.
You know, we're very concerned about Medicaid. The Federally Qualified Health Centers, which is who I work for, the Community Health Center Association of Connecticut, we see a lot of Medicaid patients. 63% of our patients are on Medicaid.
Really?
And we actually serve 30% of all the Medicaid enrollees in Connecticut. So 750,000 Medicaid enrollees. About a third of them are getting their care at federally qualified health centers. So Medicaid is a really key issue. We're very concerned that there could be cuts under Medicaid or that the whole program could be redesigned as what's called a block grant to the states.
But why would they do that?
To save money. That's all it's about, is to save money. They might try to sell it as the states get some more flexibility. And some states might appreciate that, but not with less money to spend.
Okay, what is the fear of a block grant? Explain that to our audience.
So the way a block grant works is the state gets a certain amount of money to run the program. Right now, how Medicaid works is we spend money, and then we send a bill to the federal government, and they send us about 60% of that money back. So every dollar we spend, we get about 60 cents back from the federal government. The way a block grant would work is we would just get a set amount of money, and that's the money that we have to spend. What that would probably result in is reduced eligibility, reduced services, or lowered payments to providers.
If someone is not on Medicaid and they don't have the money to be part of the health exchange, what happens?
Well, they can remain uninsured, and what's great about federally qualified health centers is we will see anybody, regardless of whether they have insurance, and allow them to pay on a sliding fee scale based on their income. But it's much better to have insurance, particularly because at any point in your life, you could have a major medical crisis, and it would go beyond primary care. You might have a car accident and need surgery, or have a heart attack. There are a lot of different things that can happen unexpectedly, and having insurance gives you peace of mind that that will be covered when you need it.
Talking with Deb Poland, one of our guests who just got back from Washington on this whole health issue. What was the motivation for you when we asked you the question about you still think that there will be some kind of a health plan that will pass? You think there'll be a lot of cuts in it first, or how do you think they're going to get this through?
Well, I'm not positive there'll be a health plan that will pass, but I am positive they're going to continue to talk about it. And the reason I think that is I've just come back from D.C. for a national conference run by the National Association of Community Health Centers. I spoke with peers from across the country. We all met with our members of Congress on Thursday and then got together on Friday to kind of rehash what we had found out. And Congress people are still talking about health care. Our own members of Congress relayed to us the importance of people here in Connecticut continuing to express their opinions on health care, whether by calling their office, sending an email, or going to a town hall, which I know many of them are going to be having in the next couple of weeks. So the fact that they're still seeking opinions leads me to believe that this is an issue that's not dead yet.
What about the rest of the country? What do you hear as you interact with your peers?
We're hearing kind of what you would expect. You know, the folks that we spoke with from red states are telling us that their congresspeople are hoping to reform Medicaid, replace the Affordable Care Act with something else. What that something else is still to be determined. And then folks from bluer states like Connecticut with progressive members of Congress are telling us the same thing that our members of Congress are telling us, that they have a commitment to protecting health care. And it's very important, again, to have people call in and let them know how they feel.
And again, do you get our, this is my next question about calls. Do you really get a lot of calls? I mean, this is really a heavy, heavy issue. Do you find that when you go down to Washington?
Yeah, we heard from our congresspeople that they received thousands of communications, whether by phone or by email or handwritten letter, postcard, et cetera, regarding health care. And our own office, we reach out to the patients at the health centers to hear what works for them and what doesn't, so that we can collect that information and share it with members of Congress as well.
So, Deb, take us through this. And Deb Poland is Director of Government Affairs and Media Relations of the Community Health Center Association of Connecticut. So are you under the domain of the federal government or the state government?
Our organization is a nonprofit organization, and the health centers that we work with are also nonprofit organizations, but they are regulated by both the federal government and the state government.
Okay.
They receive funding from the federal government, and on a separate issue, that funding is also something we're concerned about that needs to be renewed by the end of September.
Well, that was going to be my next question, the funding from the federal government. You don't know how much you're going to get back.
That's right. So in addition to the fact that the health centers receive funding through Medicaid, they also get grants that help offset the fact that we will see people who come in uninsured or underinsured. And those grants are tied to the Health Center Trust Fund, which is set to expire on September 30th. Now, the good part is that health centers have bipartisan support across the country, and we think that we will be able to get Congress to renew the trust fund.
Deb, take us through the process again, because we know that there could be block grants replacing Medicaid. You get the sense that the federal government is going to continue to underwrite the nonprofits. But can your paradigm sustain itself under this kind of a setup?
Under block grants, we're not exactly sure how they would work. There are a lot of different details that need to be worked out. One of the details is whether each state would get a certain amount of money in total or a certain amount of money per person enrolled in Medicaid. So, for example, here in Connecticut, we have 750,000 people on Medicaid. Would we get an amount of money, one amount of money, or would it be based on each one of those people? We don't know. These are all details that would need to be worked out if a block grant would happen. The other piece that would be very concerning is how much that block grant might grow from year to year. Because healthcare costs do grow a little bit more quickly than the regular inflation. So we would want to be sure that any block grant, if they do go that route, would be able to keep pace with the cost of healthcare.
You know, I wanted to ask you this question, Deb, because you've been down to Washington. The atmosphere that we all report on, and you wonder sometimes if all of it's true. But when you come out of there, do you feel confident that we are going to have the proper leadership on this? How do you feel as a person?
I have to tell you that I think our delegation is extremely committed to the people of Connecticut. They also seem very versed in policy. Our members of our congressional delegation are interested in the details of how policy will work. And that makes me feel confident as a person that they're going to look at every piece of legislation to see how it's going to impact people in Connecticut. Now, the reality is that our senators and our members of the House of Representatives are in the minority. So they have some leverage and some power, but they're not able to really drive the agenda in Congress at this point.
Again, for people who don't know, who goes to a community health center?
Any anybody can go to a community health center. We serve 376,000 people in Connecticut every single year. So more than 10% of people in Connecticut are receiving care at a community health center. We provide primary care. So that's your regular medical visits, whether you're a child or an adult. We provide both primary care for adults and children. We also provide dental care and behavioral health care, mental health, substance abuse, therapy, and a lot of other services like nutrition. We have some specialty services, et cetera. And you can go whether you have Medicaid or commercial insurance, Medicare, if you're a veteran, or if you're uninsured.
Are there a lot of seniors? I've often wondered about that because you do take care of so many people, but a great many seniors.
Not as many as we would like, actually. It's about 7% of our population are on Medicare. We have the capability of treating older adults with primary care, dental, which, as you probably know, is not covered by Medicare. People who have Medicare and are looking for dental appointments should consider going to a community health center because we'll treat them and then provide that sliding fee scale that makes the community health centers so unique.
Well, describe that sliding fee scale. How does it work?
It works based on your income, and each health center has its own scale. You can always call and ask them, if I make $15,000 a year and I wanted to get my teeth cleaned, how much would that cost? And all that information is available.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I'll tell you what, this is, you've brought so much information to the table, but I think among the things you bring up that needs to be emphasized is the fact that the cost of health care keeps going up every year beyond what we look at in the area of inflation, correct?
So it's good news, bad news with that. And the reason that health care costs go up is that we've done such a great job to find cures for diseases and treatments for diseases that were once uncurable and untreatable. And so people are living longer lives with higher quality because of new drugs that have been developed, new surgical techniques, new pieces of medical equipment, but all of that costs money.
But you know, you talk to people about health care, and the first thing they say is that, and Dan brought this up before, that the costs are right through the sky. It's just unbelievable. There's nothing that ever comes down. And this is very discouraging to some folks. They say, you know, they get this for free, they get that for free, I have to pay this. I mean, you hear that too, and I'm sure you hear it.
I think people don't realize the number of services that they are getting for free now that they didn't used to get. So one of the pieces of the Affordable Care Act that people forget about is it provided a free wellness visit for people every year. It provides free screening like mammograms and colonoscopies. These are services that people used to have to pay for and no longer have to pay for. I think it's very easy to fall into the negative and thinking about how costs are increasing and forget about the pieces that have actually improved for people under the Affordable Care
Act. But who pays for that? Somebody pays for it.
Sure. So that's all part of insurance. And in some states, and you hear this when you listen to the news, some states the insurance rates under the Affordable Care Act have gone through the roof. Here in Connecticut, we have a rate review by the insurance department, and that's been able to keep costs cost increases less severe than they are in other parts of the country.
But as far as the insurance companies that are at two in Connecticut that are on the exchange, that really has nothing to do with you, correct?
Well, we do serve people who receive health insurance through Access Health CD.
Oh, you do?
Yes, indeed. So about 15 or 16% of the patients at federally qualified health centers have commercial insurance. Many of those have received commercial insurance as a result of Access Health CT existing. And we also do the enrollment right on site. So if you come in uninsured, we can help you get enrolled in an Access Health CT plan or on Medicaid.
Do we know offhand how many people are still uninsured in Connecticut?
It's about 4% uninsured in Connecticut, which is extremely low. We think most of that are people who are uninsurable, which would be people who are undocumented. One of the concerns is it seems like the Trump administration is not going to be enforcing the individual mandate.
Right.
And so we're not sure how many people will just choose to go uninsured as a result of that decision.
Mm-hmm. And a part of the Obamacare setup was that everybody would pay into
the
system.
Right. That's right.
That's exactly how insurance works. The more people who are in the pool, the better it is for everybody.
But, you know, you talk to young people, and they don't think they'll ever be sick. And that's why they are not investing in some of this stuff.
One of the pieces of the Affordable Care Act, and actually we did this in Connecticut before it was done nationally, was it allows parents to keep their children on health insurance a little bit longer. So people used to fall off when they went when they graduated college, or if they weren't in college once they hit about age 19. Now they can stay on through age 26. And that's been helpful to make sure that young people have health insurance, whereas, you're right, many people wouldn't buy health insurance at that age.
Are you concerned? Was there any conversation in Washington, because the story broke when you were down there, that Anthem might decide to pull out of all of the exchanges and what effect that might have on a community health center?
We weren't terribly surprised by that. I think what Anthem was signaling was that they may or may not participate in Access Health CT and the other exchanges. But they had a deadline by which they had to say, we might not participate. So that's what's happened so far. And, of course, the insurance companies are sort of waiting the way many of us are to see what happens with the Affordable Care Act or any replacement in Washington.
Do you have a time span? Have you heard anything in Washington? It's going to be in 6 months. It's going to be in 3 months. Do they give you any kind of feeling how this is going to work?
The word we kept hearing in Washington was unpredictable. That's what we kept hearing. And I think one thing that would be very telling is Congress is going on recess for 2 weeks next week. And I think it'll be very interesting to see what Congress people hear from their constituents when they go home.
Anything else you'd like to add, Debbie? We have about a minute left.
Sure. I just wanted to remind your listeners that they can access care at a federally qualified health center, and if they want to find one close to them, they can call our office or check out our website. Our phone number is 860-667-7820, 860-667-7820, and we're on the web at www.chcact.org, chcact.org.
Well, thank you for visiting us again.
Thank you for having me.